Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing?
I just found a honker.
Oh, good God.
A little old school car horn in my, or bike horn in my study, so to speak.
Your cloud
days. There.
Why
yeah,
you got
from
that?
From the time... well, I thought I'm not a man who can drive a car, so I thought I'll buy one of those clown cars because nobody would be surprised if I crash that one. They'll be like, oh, well, he's just doing a bit. He's just doing a thing. He's doing a little joke, crashing his car. But yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know why I bought it. And I'm currently doing my expenses for about 5 years of Stakhanov production. My colleagues are going to be so upset with me. I've spent so much money on so much tat for the office.
Clown
three
horns.
Iterations of FIFA, and I look at that clown horn going, I have no idea why I would have a clown horn unless I bought it for work. Such is my life. But yeah, it's here. It's here now.
Why am I not surprised? Well done, though, for doing those 5 years of expenses. Good man.
Well, I mean, well, hard there working. Won't be an Abroad in Japan podcast next week because we will have to sell the studio because of all of the things that I've spent, all the money I've spent.
take up a job as a clown, the job you were born for. With your little clown horn. I've had an interesting start today. I've just received, through the mail, the first business cards that I've had in the last, 4 years. As you know, business cards are an essential part of living in Japan, right? Mm. But years ago, I got some business cards made up, and it feels a bit weird being a YouTuber with business cards. It feels a bit perverse because being a YouTuber isn't a proper job. It's just a thing you do in your bedroom. But I stopped giving them out when I went to events back in the day, 3 or 4 years ago, when I had the last iteration, because I put my mobile phone number on, and that just seemed like a bad mistake. I don't like people ringing me up. And so rather than just get rid of my mobile phone number off the business cards, I just stopped handing out business cards altogether. And so for the last 4 years, I haven't had any meishi. You know, the most important part of living in Japan is having a business card. So I thought, the time has come to get some business cards made up without my mobile phone number. And they've just come through and they're very nice. They've got round edges. Mm. There's a photo of a shrine on the back. I sent you a photo a minute ago. What do you reckon? Are they good?
I really like the front cover. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's the thing though. Is your email address connected to your iCloud account? Because people could be phoning you on that anyway. People could be video calling you with that.
That's true. I think I'm good. Just got a Gmail email address on there, and it just says Chris Broad, creator and filmmaker.
Ooh.
Not just a filmmaker, I'm a creator.
I like the little kind of camera iris thing in front of a big Tory gate. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
Proof that I do something in the world of photography. And I had the difficult task, though, of writing how many subscribers the Abroad in Japan channel has, because it says the Abroad in Japan channel, youtube.com/Abroad in Japan, and I put 1.5 million people subscribed.
Right.
Of course, there's actually more like 1.8 million, but it just seemed a bit weird. It just seemed a bit odd.
Why?
Putting 1.8 million on there.
Well, I mean, just round up because it'll eventually get to 2. So just put 2. Dress for the job you want, not the one you got, mate.
It's one of those weird situations you find yourself in sometimes when you talk about your number of subscribers, because it can be a bit pedantic being like, I've got 1.752 million subscribers. But I think if I'd rounded it up to 2 million and I hand out the business card to someone important, they look up the channel and they see that I've actually got 1.8 million subscribers, they'd be like, oh, he's a liar. He's a lying scumbag, this Abroad in Japan, Chris, this creator guy. So now that I've done 1.5 million, I've kind of saved myself if they do look up the channel. I look good.
Well, it just looks like you've done something horrific and you've lost like 20% of your fans. What's he done recently?
Didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, so you're going to be doing something on a panel recently, very soon. So that's kind of why you got your cards. But I heard through literally you telling me 5 minutes ago that you turned down, I don't know how lucrative it was, but it certainly sounds like a lot of bloody fun. You turned down a job in Okinawa, a luxury hotel resort thing in Okinawa, advertising a hotel / experience, you riding a horsey down a beach, and you turn it down because you didn't want to ride a little horsey down the beach. Now, Chris Broad, that sounds majestic. Explain yourself.
You like the idea of riding a horse across Okinawa?
I've ridden a horse a few times, mate. I'm banging to it. I'm really good.
you can't drive a car, but you can ride a horse.
Exactly.
Your method of transport. I had this opportunity to come up to do something in Okinawa, some sort of luxury travel video, I think. And I don't really do sponsor videos, to be honest, as you've seen over the years. I don't really enjoy it much. The only time I do stuff sometimes is when I get given like a subsidy to just pick a place, like pick a prefecture and then go around and do our own thing. Like about a year or two ago, Ryota and I did a video in Yamaguchi Prefecture. And for that one, we did fugu, because that's like the local dish of Yamaguchi. Mm. But with that, we got contacted by like a local tourism board for the government, I think. And they sort of said, here's some money to subsidize your travel, pick where you want to go and just kind of help showcase the prefecture. And that is the kind of thing I like to do. But with this one in Okinawa, I think it was a lot more controlled as to what I could do. There wasn't any creative freedom. And I just don't enjoy that. You know, travel is supposed to be adventurous, spontaneous, fun. I probably couldn't swear in it. I probably couldn't be myself. So I just thought, no. So, and the
horse
idea.
Horse on a beach, Chris. Horse on a beach. That's the angle. Horse on a beach.
The idea of riding a horse across a beach sent a shudder down my spine.
Tsushima style.
Yeah, that would have worked. If it had come from Ghost of Tsushima, I might have acted differently. But yes, I turned it down. Sorry, Pete. I know you love the idea of going to Okinawa, I feel bad telling you about it. I should have kept that to myself.
Hmm. You think that they'd with obviously the COVID situation and the fact that you just can't get into Japan, why don't they just treat the islands as slightly different? Because obviously, it's a very different situation in Tokyo to Okinawa, isn't it? So why are you not allowed into Okinawa?
But it's not actually. There was a case last month where, because obviously Okinawa is home to a massive military base, a lot of American service folks coming over from America brought the infection with them, and it's kind of spread a little bit throughout Okinawa and caused a lot of political tension there. Because obviously the people in Okinawa don't like the idea of having an American military base there for various reasons. And that flare up of cases in COVID-19 in Okinawa caused a few more problems, an already tense political situation. So even Okinawa is not safe.
I've got my answer. It's got terrible COVID problems.
There's no escape. But yeah, that's that. And you never know. Next time I see you, you might get to fondle one of these nice, luxurious business cards for yourself, Pete. I'll have to give you one.
Yeah, yes, I will fold it up into four pieces and put it in my mouth, which is where I put all of my business cards.
Do you have a business card yourself? Do you have one?
No, I've never had a business card. To my chagrin, the rest of my company got business cards, but I missed out on it. Even junior members of staff got them, but they clearly didn't think I could be trusted with them.
Too busy fiddling expenses at your company to get the business cards you deserve.
Exactly, you know. I know, right? So many copies of FIFA. Every year, more FIFA.
Shady young man. Now, as you know, we like to kick off this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, more recently with stories of the week sent in by you guys. And we got an interesting story from a guy who scammed the scammers of Tokyo. As you know, probably, there's a nasty culture in the district of Shinjuku in Kabukicho, the famous red light district, where a lot of people get scammed. And we've talked about it, haven't we, Pete, where people have gone in a bar, had their drinks spiked, and then had their wallets stolen and credit cards, just all the money extracted from the credit cards. I think we had a couple a year ago who had just come to Japan on the honeymoon and lost something like $6,000 or $7,000 on a night out in one of these bars. Do you remember that?
That's what I mean. I mean, that was the main kind of fear, that the only thing the first time I went to Japan, that was the one thing I was scared of. I was going to get drugged. Nowadays, I think I'd love some free drugs.
Oh, God.
I love a nice, with jet lag, I love a nice sleep, me.
Jet lag, drugs, and chance business
of,
cards.
Chance would be a fine thing. Chance would be a fine thing, sleeping past 5 a.m. with jet lag. Bring it on, I say.
Bloody hell. Well, this story comes from Heath in Australia, and it's a story where he scammed the scammers, and it starts, hi, Chris and Pete, long-time listener, with a story from my travels to Japan in 2017. It was my second trip to Japan, travelling with my good mate Pete, kicking around the land of the rising sun. Prior to the trip, I'd done some research on known scams and areas to be cautious of when out drinking, which we were doing a lot of. We were staying at Citadine's Shinjuku Hotel, close to Kabukicho and Golden Guy. And as you know, there's certain men around there who approach you frequently in the surrounding streets, asking you to go to their bars with discounts. And they harass you every time you step on the street. We had 5 nights at this hotel, and on day 4, I'd had enough of this harassment. And as I read about this scam, I thought I'd play them at their own game with my inside knowledge of what they would do to me. Pete was getting a tattoo the next day near Harajuku, so he couldn't drink this night, so I was on my own. I started out drinking some Kirin whiskey, solo in the hotel room, building up some courage while telling Pete my plan. He thought it was a bit crazy, but gave his blessing as my travel companion. After I was fairly jolly, I went down to street level and was instantly approached by the same guy who pestered me all week long. I said, let's sit down and have a chat first, so I trust you and what you're telling me. So he went into Family Mart under the hotel, grabbed a beer and sat outside. He told me, as he smoked his Marlboro, to come to the bar. It's all you can drink. Karaoke, heaps of fun. He said it would help him as well, because he gets paid a commission for anyone he brings to the bar. So I surprised him and said, okay, if it helps you, let's go to this bar. He said, great, it's just across the street, up on level 3. So I followed him and we went up the lift to the building. Next, as the doors opened and we walked into the bar, I found it to be the size of a studio apartment with an open karaoke booth to one side and a stocked bar with a few girls serving drinks on the other. The bar girls gave the introducer a sly half smile with a suspicious look, and they thanked him for bringing me up. He then left as I approached the bar to pay the all drinks fee with my cash from my pocket. I started with a Jack Daniels and Coke. Some time passed and some more drinks were had, and I decided to take what would turn out to be my last drink to join some other patrons in the karaoke area. Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing, and as we were singing along to Give It Away, I had the microphone, and midway through the phrase, what you got, I gotta get it, put it in you, bloody hell, all of a sudden I felt like a rhino in a David Attenborough documentary that had been shot by a tranquilizer dart. It wasn't an alcoholic drink feeling, it was a holy crap, the drugs have just kicked in feeling. I'm 6'3" and I'm solid, so I'd make an impact if I was about to fall, which I felt like I was going to. I knew I had to quickly finalise my plan and get back to my room safely. So I stumbled over to the bar, and at this point the bar girls asked for my wallet. I pulled it out and she carefully released it from my hand and started going through it. This is when Operation Screw the Scammers went into full throttle. Her face was shocked and bemused. She said, "Where are your credit cards? Do you have any money?" At this point, they usually charge as much to your credit card as they can, often thousands of dollars. What they didn't know, though, was that before I left my hotel room, I emptied all my cards, identification, and just left a single 2,000 yen note in my wallet, which I was happy to lose for the experience. The drugs were kicking in hard at this point. I left the bar feeling like I just had a victory for all the unlucky travellers who had been previously scammed. I scammed the scammers. Well, at a minimum, I saw firsthand the scam being scammed without being scammed. So many words, scammed, which I scammed thought was great. I jumped in the elevator and somehow dragged myself back to the room. The hotel, like many in Japan, had a lift to the reception and then to another to your room. This concept is very challenging in my state, but I nonetheless managed to get to my room and crashed through the door and collapsed over the lamp into my bed, sleeping like a shot rhino until mid-morning. I woke up, jumped in a cab and went to watch the final hour of Pete's massive tattoo on his upper right leg get done at 3 tides. Mission complete. although this is a great memory of the trip, I won't be doing it again next visit. To your listeners, I'd say my scam advice is don't do it. It's not fun. It's pretty dangerous. And I don't recommend it. Have a great week. Kampai. Heath from Australia. The man who scammed the scammers. Kind of. What
Heath,
a story.
Heath, I can't tell whether that's sociopathic behaviour or psychotic behaviour. Either way, Heath, you are a fucking maniac. And just so you've got to look after your body better, mate. That's risky. That is just risky with whiskey and the rest. Wow.
He left a 2,000 yen note in his wallet. And you know how rare those are, right? You don't get them.
Yeah, lucky.
Super lucky. Although he probably got it in his own country. Like, you can get them quite easily at home. But yeah. Scammers.
That's incredible. That is incredible. I mean, did he scam the scammers? He just kind of...
Not really.
Because the entrance fee was agreed. He got his Nomi Hodai. He drank his two drinks, sang karaoke, and then risked his life with some drugs. So there we go. And I bet they would have over-egged the pudding when it comes to how much drugs is a 6'2" solid Australian going to take before he gets put down. Wow.
What do they put in these drinks, do you reckon? What is it they actually blend in?
I don't know. I mean...
Only one way to find out.
It's probably those
scammers.
What they call them, Mickeys. I don't know. In police procedurals, they say, "Did you slip him a Mickey?" I don't know what a Mickey is. It's probably just loads of Valium. They give Valium to dogs in London. I didn't know that. Like, you know, like when you see dogs in the street with homeless people, frequently they've been given Valium, so they're just a lot more sedate. A lot more adorable.
Explain why the dogs sitting with homeless always people sleeping. Are always so sleepy.
Always sleeping. Yeah, I had no idea. But I was thinking, why would you waste good tablets on dogs?
Good tablets.
Just look after your dog, for crying out loud. I don't know.
You seem like someone who is willing to do the same thing Heath did, Pete. Of all the people I know, you are probably near the top of the list of people that would probably do this at some point or another.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I mean, it's only over the road. Tony over the road. Don't look into, do the Homer Simpson with the big Stetson and the camera in it. Don't look into the hat, Apu. Don't look into the hat. It's dangerous. Not recommended. The Bronish Band podcast and Stakhanov Productions do not recommend getting yourself drugged like a rhino.
Definitely. Even if the story afterwards is somewhat cathartic, hearing the scammers get beaten at their own game in a weird kind of way. It would have been even better. Like, the only way it would have been, like, really cathartic is if he just tore up, in his kind of rhino drugged state, just tore up the bar and smashed everything and then ran out. Because these places are usually run by shady individuals. Obviously, people often relate to the Yakuza in some way, shape or form. But I reckon Heath could have taken them all on. 6'3".
He's a big sleepy
drunk
boy.
Drunk on whiskey. Yeah. Crikey. What a story. One of the only good stories we've had to come out of the Kabukicho red light district where something's gone right there, eh? It's a nice one.
Fantastic.
Now, just down the road from Kabukicho is Yoyogi Park, and it's a beautiful park. Mm. And there's been a thing recently. There's been a news story going around that's captured the world's attention. Basically, they've just installed some transparent toilets. What do you think about this, Pete?
Right.
Have you seen the transparent toilets in Harajuku Park?
I've not seen the transparent toilets. Fascinating situation. But they're not transparent all of the time. They're only transparent when nobody's in them, and then as soon as you're in them, they become opaque. But I would say that we've all had experiences with train toilets where they open when you don't expect them. It's the bedrock of every comedic touchstone that every stand-up has ever spoke about on stage for the past 5 years. So I would say, why do we need to risk this? What's wrong with bricks or even glass bricks? At least they would kind of obfuscate what you're actually, you know, up to.
It's pretty ominous, like, seeing the photos. Basically, the Tokyo Toilet Project, which is a non-profit organisation, decided to install some toilets that were cleaner than usual public toilets. Obviously, public toilets, as you just said, aren't the most flattering places to be in, although typically in Japan, they're not too bad already, to be fair. But the idea being with these ones that You can see straight through them. They're transparent. You go in, lock the door, and it kind of makes the walls go opaque. It's called smart glass. Smart glass. And
very clever.
It is very clever. It's quite impressive. I don't know if I have it within me to actually ever try it or go in there myself. My friend Aki Dearest, who's partners with Joey, the anime man, she went in there and made a video, and she's a brave girl. I don't think I could bring myself to do it. But they're currently looking into installing 17 of these toilets around Shibuya by next spring. And they've been designed by an award-winning architect, Shigeru Ban. And so it must be good, because it's award-winning. Mm. But I don't know. I'm not completely sold on the idea. I kind of wonder if it was like a concept to be a good PR stunt for the upcoming Olympics that were unfortunately cancelled or postponed. I wonder if they were made time with that, other than just to look nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. I mean, I've just watched a little video of them, and they are quite nice colours, really. Like, there's greens and blues and reds. It's incredible how they work. I wonder how they do work.
I don't know how smart glass works. All I know is, as well as trying to keep the toilets clean, the idea is also that people going in the toilets at night when it's dark can see inside. That there's no one waiting there for them, which is probably quite a good reason to have the toilets, actually, because there's no way you could hide inside it unless you kind of flip the switch and lock the door and make the glass opaque. So from that perspective, it's a pretty good idea, actually, for safety reasons.
I mean, they still know that you're in there. They still know that you're in there, though. It's like when David Blaine got in a little glass box on the Thames a few years ago.
I remember that. But like, if you're lying in wait, right? If you go, say I'm going to the toilet, 7 o'clock at night, it's pitch black.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson, the murderer, is in Harajuku Yoyogi Park. And we go in and I can see you're in there, crouching there with some sort of dangerous tool. Provided you haven't activated the smart glass, I can see you're there. So I'll be like, oh, he's in there. He's obviously a dangerous murderer. I'm not going in. And if you did...
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you have to lock the door to make the glass go opaque. And obviously, if it's opaque, then you know someone's in there.
You're not going to go in there.
Run away. So it's safe. So that perspective is a pretty good idea, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been this scared of toilets, but you're making me scared of toilets. So thanks for that, Chris.
Now you've got a reason to be scared.
Yeah.
But it's quite a cool idea. I might have to give them a try. Next time I'm down in Tokyo, I might give it a whirl. But go and check out Aki Dearest's video, Tokyo's Transparent Toilets. Pretty swanky, pretty stylish. Japan is, spend a see-through penny. Japan, the pioneer of toilet technology throughout the world.
Mm.
I still haven't been to that toilet museum. I think, where is it? It's in Kyushu. I think you went to it, didn't you? Did you go to it?
Toto museum? I think I went to a poo museum in, Korea, I think, in Seoul back in the day. But yeah, I've never been to one in Japan.
The ultimate cultural
where the pools are different. Yeah.
Very true. Tokyo's Transparent Toilets. Check them out. Go in there before you get scammed by the scammers.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done and, you know, all of that stuff. I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, we've got a fax from Sahil, who's helpfully written precisely how you say Sahil. I actually had a friend called Sahil, so I was all over it, Sahil, all right? Dear Chris and Pete, thank you for an amazing podcast. I've been listening to the podcast since late May this year, and I've just realized I'm all caught up. I started on the podcast after watching most of the YouTube channel, which I started watching just after Chris's birthday this year, although my best friend recommended it to me 2 years ago. And in glowing terms at that, I only got on board this year. That's the problem, isn't it, Chris? When people recommend stuff to you, it could be video games, it could be films, it could be books. I never get round to actually consuming the media. I never get round to doing it because it's not my idea. And I am incredibly bullish about things.
To any of you guys listening, if you recommend the Brawn Japan podcast to any of your friends, bully them to listen to it. Don't make them wait 2 years. Just keep prodding them until they actually do it,
Until you hear that intro. What does Netsky say at the start of the podcast? I've completely forgotten.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes, wow. Until you hear that, wow. You've not done your job, quite frankly. Anyway, Sahil goes on. I studied at the Hokkaido University between 2013 and 2017, after which I moved back to India. As of mid-July this year, I'm working for Hokkaido. Home for me is Sapporo. There hasn't been a day I didn't regret leaving. And now I have a chance to go back. I am delighted. My question for you is this. Imagine that you left Japan and were unable to go back for 3 years. In this scenario, what would be the first things you would do when you return to Japan? Not counting recovering from the jet lag, of course. All that I have planned is to eat all the food. And yes, I realize that is perhaps not the healthiest choice. Thanks for the hours of entertainment. of all the places in Sapporo you've covered, I've only ever been to the Snow Festival and the Bar Flair. I hope you'll cover more of Sapporo and Hokkaido in the future, especially that Chris now has his own car. Enthusiastically yours, Sahil. Have you ever been to the top of the country, the very top, you know, when you sort of like could look out at Russia or wherever?
Yeah, what's it called? Cape Sawyer? I think it's called Cape Sawyer.
Something like that, yeah.
I've always thought about going up there.
It's what?
It's a what?
It's a bit of a schlep, isn't it?
Schlep. Does that mean like slog? Distance?
Yeah, but it takes a long time. Hard work.
It takes so long to get across Hokkaido in general. It's absolutely huge. It is Japan's biggest prefecture, right? I'd love to go up there. I don't know what time of year would be best. Like, part of me, I would like to go in winter because I think the coldest place in Japan is up there in winter. And I think it could be quite an experience. I think it's like minus 20 or minus 30 or something. So that could be fun. But I'd need a bloody good excuse to go that way. And I certainly would be reluctant to drive it. Having driven across Hokkaido a few winters back, it was pretty treacherous, albeit fun.
Yeah. I'd wait. I'd wait till it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, it could be fun though. And as for what I would do if I returned to Japan after many years, that's a pretty obvious, easy one for me. I would just go back to my spiritual homeland of Yamagata, meet with Natsuki and go down the pub and eat some edamame. Lovely. And some chicken and drink and just chat and have fun and maybe do some karaoke. But that'd be it. Like, go back there and see some friends. What about you, Pete? Any ideas?
I would hit my favourite bar, Bar Rockaholic. I would request all of the songs for 3 hours and really upset the YouTube DJ person. And I would drink the Yogurito shot that I love so much and have several red eyes, which is tomato juice.
Yogurito and red eyes. Two things we fundamentally disagree on. Still don't see the appeal of red eye.
What is it?
Tomato disgusting. Ketchup, tomato sauce, or whatever in a beer. Don't get it.
Yeah, just tomato and beer. Delicious.
We got one here from Tepper in San Jose. It says, "Hello, love the podcast, guys, and I have a quick question. I was watching Chris's video, my favourite place in Japan, where he's currently sitting on a coastline with some Buddhas carved into the rocks. I noticed people leaving money beside the Buddha. I know Japanese people are highly respectful. So in this situation, does anyone ever go out to collect the money or does it just sit there? What's done with the money? Seems like it would be considered a bit disrespectful to spend the money that symbolizes good fortune. I may be wrong because clearly the money can't sit forever and never go back into circulation. Just wanted to get some insights onto how the Japanese think about those offerings. Thanks, guys. Tepper from California." You've been to this Buddha as well, Pete. Do you remember the Buddha?
I have, yeah. I remember that was the first time we'd hung out in Japan, I think. We went straight to this coastline where these kind of like jaggedy cliffs. They probably won't be, well, small cliffs, but they probably won't be there for a huge amount of time longer. But somebody just went, it was about 100 years ago, just sort of carved a lot of Buddhas into them.
Yeah, it was some sort of Buddhist monk carved all these Buddhas into the rocks. I think 16 Buddhas. And then to celebrate, he killed himself by throwing himself in the sea.
That's right, yeah.
And his legacy stands the test of time. They're pretty cool, though. It's one of my favourite places, actually. But there is one Buddha in particular, this little chubby Buddha carved in the rocks. And he's quite low down, but he's got a mountain of coins surrounding him, like 1 yen coins. And I think that's the key here, Tepper. The coins aren't really of that much value. You could scoop them up and spend them at the 7-Eleven on a can of coffee if you were a terrible human being.
The worst man in the world.
Yeah. But like, it's such a paltry sum. It's more like a symbolic gesture, to be honest. But there are quite a lot of Buddhas across the country where there are coins dotted around them. But yeah, people leave them. It would be bad luck. People are quite spiritual here. And I think that supernatural element would stop you because you'd feel a sense of guilt by taking them, by kind of stealing the coins away from these Buddhas. Would you be tempted, Pete? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd go out and buy them some more jackets because obviously the little Buddhas, they little kind of little gods, god representations, they always, when it's raining, they put little red hats on them so they don't get wet. I'd buy them some wicked, pretty green Liam Gallagher coats.
Lovely
idea. They look so cool.
Lovely.
And Sonny's Ray-Bans. I'd put Ray-Bans on them.
It's one step too far. Gone from Ray-Bans being a nice gesture to being a bit exploitative of a situation.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to help you out here. You're going to get emails about saying San Jose, California. I heard
Did
it.
I say Jose?
Heard it. I think you might have said Jose. I think, I know, but I think you might. God. I'm just helping you out here, mate. So for those of you who have already written your little emails and you've got to this part of the podcast, delete email. All right. Apologize for sending it. Apologize for sending the tweet.
There was the American state that I kept messing up the pronunciation of, and while you read the next mail, I'm going to remember what it is
right.
and look
Okey
it up.
Dokey. Yeah. Dive in. Okay. Kai from the UK. I've watched your podcast for quite a while now. Watched your podcasts. And my question today is for both Pete and Chris. If you could both stay in any Japanese business overnight, what would you choose? Anywhere is on the table. Also, I just want to say that your video, I know, I also want to say that your videos helped me decide that I want to go out and teach in Japan. So thanks so much. Keep up the great work, Kai from the UK. Lovely to have you along. Kai, I know one other Kai. Well, I know one Kai. I don't know you that well, that Kai, but thank you for your message. I just get excited when Kai appears. What would you stay in? I would stay in a pachinko parlor, and I'd just fill the entirety of the floor. Any blank space I'd fill with ball bearings, and I'd just slide around on my belly.
Oh, good God. It's a horrifying
sight. That'd be so cool. That'd be so cool.
At least it'd be quiet, though. One of the few bloody times a place like that would be quiet, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Given how ruthlessly noisy they are. I found the name of the state, by the way. It was Maryland. I always pronounce it as Maryland. Maryland.
Oh, and it's Maryland for them, is it?
Maryland. Yeah. Someone tore me to shreds for that a few months ago.
Was that worth it? Was all that worth it?
No, it wasn't worth it. I butchering another... Christ. Another American location, the pronunciation. Where would I stay overnight? God, I would stay in a... It's a tough question, isn't it? How do you think up things so quick? How did pachinko come to your mind like that? What it takes being time
so
to think
bloody
things.
Rando. I would stay in a hard-off and play all of the instruments. There's always so many weird instruments in hard-offs. Or book offs, or whatever they're called, the second hand shops in Japan. There's always like some wicked guitars, and then some really weird custom guitars that I don't even know how they priced it up. They probably just went, "We're not even selling this trash. We'll give you $50 for it."
The problem with hard off is things are just expensive. Like I remember going in there to look at computers and laptops and stuff, and video games consoles, and they're like more expensive there than like buying it new half the time. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. All rather
they are odd. Very well kept. Very well kept.
True, true. As for me, I think I would break into a... I would stay overnight at a Pets at Home, which is a pet store, and I would let all the animals roam free. Because if you go into one of these pet shops in Japan, the cats and dogs are like in these boxes, and it's a bit depressing sometimes. And I'd go in there, and there's parrots, and there's various weird animals like squirrels and... gerbils and cats and dogs. I'd let them all roam free. I'd break open the glass and let them escape. And they're probably a bad idea, actually, letting these little kittens and puppies run amok through the streets of Japan. But that is what I would do nonetheless. Man of the people.
The rats would get every last one of them.
Oh, God. Got one here from James in Manchester. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I discovered your podcast last year and became an avid listener on my commute to and from work. Sadly, when I changed jobs, I fell behind and have only now begun to catch up on all the episodes I've missed. I've just about reached January, and it's both strange and poignant to think back to a pre-COVID time and listen to all the plans you had for the year. I myself was hoping to visit Japan at some point this year. My question is, if you could give your January selves any useful advice about how to prepare for the pandemic, what would it be? I'm making good progress through the back catalogue, so if you read this out, I'm sure I'll hear the answer by October. Cheers, James in Manchester." Yeah, that must be quite weird going back to the podcast in January, December. I think we did a podcast with like our New Year's resolutions, things we wanted to do, and they've all gone down the pan, and that was the end of that. It's been a bizarre year. I don't know what advice I would give. I think I would go back to April and try and tell myself to study more. Like I started studying Japanese about a month or two ago, as I mentioned, and on the podcast. And I feel like I should have started back in April, because from April I was basically just sitting indoors the whole time making videos and not doing a whole lot. So I would have tried to make use of that time indoors and study a bit more. But I'm hoping in the last quarter of this year we can make up for some of the, well, just how rubbish this year has been in a lot of ways. And I've got like a road trip that I'm currently planning, which I'll talk about in a future episode, but I'm trying to make up for it desperately in the last quarter of this year. What about you, Pete? What would you tell yourself? What advice would you give?
I would become a Tory MP and give all of the PPE contracts to my friends and make a load of money. No, I would probably invest in alcohol gel, I imagine. I'd switch from consuming alcohol to distilling alcohol gel, because we, you know, it was obviously a lot of people make a lot of money out of our new thirst, our endless thirst for the old alcohol gel, unfortunately. So yeah. What would I do? I think everyone had sort of plans, didn't they, for what the time away from work was going to be like. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really slow up. I didn't change. I quit my radio job at the back end of last year to concentrate on the podcast company. And then obviously the podcast company was my sole project. And obviously that took a lot more work than we expected. So I probably would have spent a little bit more time being a bit more creative, because I do like making stupid stuff every now and again.
I love that your first idea was to profit. Profit from this.
Profit from
this pandemic.
It, yeah.
Typical P.
Well, you know.
What I will say, though, is alcoholic hand gel seems to become really trendy and cool to have in Japan. Like, people have, like, holsters for their gel. Like, there's Natsuki. He treats it like
cool.
A gun or something. He, like, whips it out and he spins it around and he sprays his hand and then he offers it around and he holsters it back in his pocket and he loves his hand gel. He loves his alcoholic hand gel. And I feel left
Love
out because I don't have a private stash. I don't have my own pocket gel. Do you carry one around?
No, I really don't. All of the tube stations, most offices have it on tap. Effectively, most supermarkets have the little dispensers that you activate with the foot. I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised how conscientious London Underground and the trains and stuff have been with alcohol gel. In most train stations you can pick up alcohol gel. I am constantly forgetting my mask though. Oh my word. I the amount of times, and then I'll have a little muggy one at the bottom of my bag that's only got one string, so I'm holding it. I'm sort of putting it behind my glasses, so hoping it'll stay on my face. It's a disaster, but yeah, I just keep on forgetting bloody masks. It's just not part of my, you know, wallets. What was it? Wallets, watch. What is that saying? Tits, teeth, wallets and watch or something like that? I can't remember.
I've not a clue, but what I will say
spectacles,
is...
No, spectacles, testicles, wallets and watch. I think that's what it is.
Sounds like a podcast you can add to your portfolio. What I will say is in Japan, they do have these alcoholic hand gels and sprays at pretty much every shop, but 30% of them smell really weird, like fish. There's always a fishy smell. It's not the nice alcoholic smell. So I think that's why Natsuki carries his own pocket stash to avoid running into those horrible smelling ones that really put you off using them. So
well,
be careful.
He should be on nodding tails of this sort of thing anyway, because he's a plumbing, he's a hair studio man. he should have what do they call it? It's like blue. It's bright blue. Barbicide. He should have one with barbicide in it.
Barbicide.
To kill all the bugs on the combs.
Barbicide is the word I didn't know I needed today. I like that. Barbicide. Sounds like death by barber. What an ominous ending to the podcast. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, take care, wash your hands, use some alcoholic gel, and we'll see you in the next few days. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.